As you can tell, we're going to be talking about Timothy and Epaphroditus. And over the last several days, I've written that name down, Epaphroditus, so many times, I'm really good at it right now. So, all right. Philippians' theme is joyful Christian living. And the outline is the partakers with Christ, people of Christ, which we'll specifically deal with this morning in Philippians 2, the pursuit of Christ and the power of Christ. And then the theme and is of Philippians is theme verse, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And I have two theme verses because we have two men that we're going to be talking about. One is Timothy and the other is Epaphroditus. And so I picked a couple verses out of each of their passages. The passage theme verse for Timothy is Philippians 2:22, but you know of his proven worth that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. And then for Epaphroditus, it shows Philippians 2:29, receive him then in the Lord with all joy and hold men like him in high regard. And we'll see a lot about that this morning. In our lesson this morning, the Apostle Paul is in prison in Rome. And he continues his letter to the church of Philippi, promising to send two of his faithful servants, which would be Timothy and Epaphroditus, back to the church in Philippi. Paul, at this point in his life, has no idea about what his future is. He's in prison, and for just because he's a believer in Christ, but he doesn't know whether tomorrow or the next hour he's going to lose his life. He's going to be executed. He just has no idea what his future is. But you'll see that he continues to serve the Lord. Many of his epistles were written during this time. In fact, that's what we've been studying, is the prison epistles. And so he has freedom to do his writing, and he does that for, I don't know how long, but a long time. And we are the beneficiaries of the things that he is writing. Timothy and Epaphroditus are also in Rome, and they are risking their lives just to be associated with Paul. If Paul were to be executed, which eventually he was, they might come after those two guys as well. And so these are very faithful men in serving the Lord and in serving Paul as he is in prison. Our passage this morning is, Steam's statement is, believers in Jesus Christ at all levels of giftedness, callings, and circumstances are to live our lives in the interests of Jesus Christ and the care of other believers. It's a great opportunity to see these two men that we're going to be talking about. I'm going to come back to this picture because I like this picture because Timothy and Epaphroditus, as you can see, there's a third person there. And we're going to speak about that because that third person, I believe, is Paul. Because Paul is discipling both of these men. And we can see that as he writes about them in our passage. So you may have different ideas about who they are. I chose Paul because they're all in shorts. How does that sound? Okay, let's talk about, first of all, the mentor, the Apostle Paul. First of all, Paul is a man of leadership and action, both before and after Christ met him on the road to Damascus. So we're going to see him before he became a Christian, before he was saved, and then we're going to see him after that. And we're going to see that he's a man of action. But at any rate, He's a man of leadership. He's all in on whether he's an unsaved man or whether he is a man who has been saved, and we'll see that. Before he's saved, in Acts chapter 1, it says that Paul was in hearty agreement with putting Stephen to death, and on that day a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered through all the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. And so this was a very critical time, and for Paul it was a critical time in his life because he was all in going after the disciples and Christians. In Acts chapter 8, verse 3, says, "But Paul began ravaging the church, entering house after house, and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison." So you can see that he was all in that particular mission that he had. He was not one to stand by and let other people do his work. He was a leader in that way. So I say that he was a bold leader against Jesus Christ. Then in Acts chapter 9, on the road to Damascus, he met the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he was persecuting. And the Lord Jesus specifically spoke to him. And he ended up being blind for several days while the Lord dealt with him and while he was dealt with by the disciples of Christ as well, or some of the disciples. So so at this point, Paul becomes a leader in the church. In Acts chapter 9, verses 19 and 20, it said, "Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, 'He is the Son of God.'" That's a huge change for the Apostle Paul, because he was treating Jesus as just a man and his disciples as people that were fraudulent, and it just was absolutely not true, as you know. So now he had become a bold leader for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is after his conversion. And I want to give you a few other examples so you get an idea of the leadership of Paul. Paul was not a man who stood by and did nothing. He was a leader in several respects. And so let's look at a couple of those. Here's one that I would never do. Paul was willing to call out Peter for his hypocrisy of sharing meals with the Gentiles until the Judaizers showed up in Galatians 2, 11 through 14. And let me put that on the screen for you so you can see. Says that when Cephas came to Antioch, and remember, Peter is the head disciple. In fact, in the Catholic Church, they reach out to him and say, he's the Pope. He's not the Pope. But when Cephas, that is Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. This is Paul talking. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. The rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas, that is Peter again, in the presence of all, if you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like the Jews? So here's Paul, a new Christian, and for not that long a period of time, and yet he's willing to call out Peter for doing something that was deadly wrong. And that was Paul. Paul is a leader. And another good example is Paul was totally committed to the gospel ministry and expected the same from his missionary partners. As a result, he firmly resisted taking Mark on the second missionary journey, who had deserted them on the first missionary journey. He left in the middle of the journey and went back to Jerusalem. And Paul had nothing to do with that. He was not going to have that happen again. He wanted people that were fully committed to the mission. And so he stood up for that. We went through that a while ago. We discussed this in the introduction to Philippians that I did a few weeks ago. Barnabas wanted to take Mark with him on the second missionary journey, and Paul refused because Mark had deserted them on the first missionary journey. The argument was classified as a sharp disagreement in Acts chapter 15. Barnabas abruptly took Mark and sailed to Cyprus like they had done on the first missionary journey, but Paul was not with them. Paul then chose Silas, and they went north. So the point is that Paul showed very strong leadership and wanted no distractions on his missionary team. And it's an important for us to see that. He was not just brash, but he was very focused on what the mission was, and he didn't want any distractions, people leaving. And so he was not afraid to stand his ground and take a different track, and that's exactly what he did. Last week we saw, as Brian taught, we saw that Paul saw himself as being poured out as a drink offering in his services to the Lord God. That's in Philippians 2:17. This pouring out of a drink offering is a present tense. So this is not Paul just talking about the end of his life, although that's a possibility as well. But he's just talking about his full commitment that he had to the mission. Even though he was in prison, he was committed to the mission of sending out the gospel and going on missionary journeys and things like that. One commentator wrote, "A drink offering or libation symbolizes the total pouring out of a worshiper's life, devotion, and joy as a sacrifice to God. It represents complete consecration, covenant faithfulness, and a sweet aroma to the Lord, often accompanying other sacrifices to symbolize the surrender of oneself." The bottom line is Paul was totally committed to the ministry that God had given to him. He's all in, and he doesn't want any distractions. And what a great example that is for all of us. Even though he's in prison, whether he's out of prison or whether he's in prison, or whether he's facing the possibility of being executed, that was Paul. Paul was a very strong leader. And when you think about it, it's not a mistake, not surprising that our God, the Lord God, would take a man like Saul at that time, Paul now, would take him and train him and give him the opportunity to serve as one of the primary missionaries, not only to the Jews, but eventually to the Gentiles. And we all ought to appreciate all of that. So let's look at Timothy. Timothy is, I'll call him a mentee. He was mentored by the Apostle Paul. And his name is mentioned 24 times in the New Testament, and every single one of them is very positive about his commitment to the Lord, about his commitment to the mission that he was on. Timothy was a native of Lystra in Galatia. That's modern-day Turkey. Timothy was led to Christ by Paul, most likely, most likely on his first missionary journey as they passed through that particular time, although there's no mention of Timothy in the scripture at that time. So here's, I want to just give you this again. This is the first missionary journey, and they start in Antioch, that you can see on the far right, and then they went south to Cyprus, and then back, and their last part of their mission was in Lystra and Derbe and Iconium. So you can kind of picture there. And four times in Scripture, Paul refers to Timothy as his son. And that's why we think that Paul led him to Christ. He had a wonderful mother and grandmother as well. And they witnessed to him, I'm sure, all during his early life. But in 1 Corinthians 4:17, I'll give you the whole verse. "For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord." That's how we might speak about somebody that we happen to lead to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they are a child, our child in the Lord. "And he will remind you of my ways, which are in Christ, just as I teach everyone in every church." Second one is in 1 Timothy 1:2. This is to Timothy. This is the introduction to the book of 1 Timothy. "To Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." This is another indication that Timothy was a true child of in the faith of Paul's. Oops, no, don't want to do that. Okay. Let's go back to 1 Timothy 1:18. "This command I trust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight." And so again, he's speaking to Timothy, is my son. That would be his son in the Lord. And then lastly, in 2 Timothy 1:2, in the introduction to that book, that letter, says, "To Timothy, my beloved son," again, "grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." So Timothy is clearly somebody that Paul took interest in, probably on the first missionary journey. Spent some time there in that area, and Timothy would have been a young man at that time, and evidently led him to Christ. Some would say his mother and grandmother did, but I think there's evidence that Paul did. In either case, they had a strong influence on his life. So thirdly, Timothy is first mentioned in scriptures during Paul's second missionary journey as a disciple with a faithful Christian testimony. And here's the second missionary journey. And you can see that this case, instead of starting downward, south, they went north, and they came early in their missionary journey to the area of Derbe and Lystra and Iconium. And it was there that when he came there, it says, Paul, when he came to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. But his father was a Greek, and he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Evidently, for some time, he had been a Christian, at least from the first mission journey to the second one. And so it was very obvious that he had been saved as a young man. We're not told how he exhibited that, but that was the clear testimony of those who knew him. And so clearly the Lord had changed his heart. Clearly Timothy was a man kind of like Paul. And Paul saw that. And he saw that significant spiritual growth in Timothy over a short period of time. So Paul wanted Timothy to join him on his missionary team, and Timothy was added to his team. So, what does Paul say in our passage to tell us about the man Timothy? So if you have your Bibles open to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. Let me read it for you. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. Remember that Paul is in prison, and he's writing this letter to the people of Philippi. For he says, for I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself will be coming shortly. So he's saying that he still wants to come back and meet the people of Philippi, but he's going to send Timothy, and later we'll see that he's going to send Epaphroditus. So one thing I noticed about this section is it has what is called a chiastic structure. Chi in the Greek language is like a big X. And so what you see is this sort of thing where the first verse and the last verse of that chiastic structure parallel each other. And then as you go forward and then you get to the final one, which is the main point, what he's driving at. So I'm going to show it to you in that order, not the order that is in the book, so you can kind of see that. I always say that when you see that, it's clear that the Holy Spirit is organizing his word even in these small little ways so that we can see what the main point is here. So let's do the first one. Paul intends to send Timothy to Philippi for Paul to be encouraged by their spiritual progress. Verse 19 says, but I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. So Paul is doing so because he wants to be encouraged as well. So here's the other side of that chiastic structure. Finally, Paul restates his intention to send Timothy to Philippi. And of course, it was conditioned upon Paul's future, and could include Paul himself coming. So here's the second part. That's that in verse 20, Paul characterized Timothy as being like-souled, like-minded. It's a Greek word that's only used here in the Greek New Testament. Says that he is of kindred spirit. I think you see that in the New American Standard as we read that. One commentator, which I included, said like-souled. There is only one other use of that word, and is in the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Old Testament. And it's Psalm 55:13 in our Bible in English. It says, it is you, O man, my equal, my companion, and my familiar friend. But it gets translated in the Septuagint as But thou, O man, like-minded, my guide and my acquaintance. And so this is Paul speaking about how Timothy is, they're soul brothers. They are men who think alike. They're men who have the same energy together. They are men who are so much alike, they're like-souled with Paul. Paul and Timothy. There's the other side of that, and we see that in verse 22. Paul characterized Timothy as being of proven value in the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So on one side of that, he's like-souled or like-minded, and then on the other side of that, he is of proven value. And lastly, we come to the point of all of this. Timothy is focused on the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ rather than on himself. Verse 21 says, "For they all seek after their own interests, not of those of Christ Jesus." And that's the focus here. And it helps us to see that when you see the structure. It's a kind of a minor thing, but major thing as well. I like that. All right, let's talk about Epaphroditus. And I call him a mentee as well, somebody who Paul mentored. Epaphroditus was from Philippi. We don't know a whole lot about him in the scripture. He's mentioned only twice in the scriptures, and both times in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, which we're looking at, and then also Philippians chapter 4. So he was not an apostle and probably not an elder like Timothy. We know nothing about his family. We don't know how long he'd been a Christian. Could have been a Christian for a long time, or could be that Paul had led him to Christ on that first missionary journey. We just don't know that. He has a Greek name, Epaphroditus, so was probably influenced by the Greek culture, kind of like Timothy was. Timothy had a Greek father, and so Epaphroditus was like him in that manner. One commentator wrote, "He exemplifies the spirit of sacrifice for the sake of Christ that involves no public acclaim, no prominence, no high office, no great talents or gifts. He was not a noted preacher, teacher, or leader. He was just Epaphroditus who was faithful in his commitment to the Lord God." Because they chose Epaphroditus to bring their gift to Paul and to minister him, in Philippians 2:25, the Philippians obviously held him in the highest regard and trusted him, because they sent a monetary gift as well, and so you want to make sure it gets to Paul, and so they trusted him implicitly, and he was that kind of a man. That he was willing to go to Rome while Paul was still in prison also shows great courage. That's who Epaphroditus was. He was kind of like Paul in that sense, that he was willing to give up his life if he needed to do that for the sake of ministering to Paul on behalf of the people of Philippi. And the people of Philippi were concerned about Paul and the fact that he was in prison. And so they sent Epaphroditus to be their emissary and to encourage Paul. One commentator wrote, "Although the apostle was allowed to live in his own rented quarters and had unlimited freedom to receive visitors, Epaphroditus understood that this situation could change overnight. If Caesar decided that Paul was indeed a threat to him, as had been charged, he would not hesitate to order his immediate execution. That would put Paul's associates in danger of arrest, imprisonment, or perhaps execution. Epaphroditus knew that the risk he was taking was real. And so, again, here we see a man like Timothy that was willing to risk his own life in order that he might minister to the Apostle Paul. These are great men. These are men that they're fully committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and fully committed to his servant Paul. All right, so let's look at the next portion here, which is Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 through 30. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need. So he's saying that his ministry to Paul is basically over, and he has done well in doing that. He's a minister to Paul's need. Because he was longing for you all, and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. So he had also had a heart for the people in Philippi. For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less concerned about you. Receive him then in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. So here we have Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus, a Philippian, was the Apostle Paul's brother in Christ. We see that in the very first verse. He mentions several things about Epaphroditus, that he was a brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, and also a messenger and a minister. We'll see that as we go along here. So, but Paul was an apostle, and Epaphroditus was just a layman. That's as far as we can tell. But they were primarily brothers in Christ. And I think about that at Countryside. At Countryside, we have pastors, we have elders, we have deacons, we have Sunday school teachers, we have ushers, we have greeters, we have nursery workers, we have parking lot people. And the list goes on and on and on. And when I think about that in the scriptures and how we're to treat one another, we're all on the same level. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ, and we treat each other that way. You don't have to hold me or any other elder in high esteem. I'm one of you. I'm your brother, and you are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think if you talk to any of the elders, they would say the same thing. That's our desire. That's who we are. There's nothing special about any of us. And the same applies to each one in this room. As believers in Christ, you are a brother or a sister in Christ to the rest of us. And that's the way we treat each other. And I hope that we all do that, all brothers and sisters in Christ. Second thing he says, that Epaphroditus was the Apostle Paul's fellow worker. We may have different tasks that we work on. I may have different ministries than you have. And some tests may be even more important than others, but we are side-by-side fellow workers. That's the mission that God gives us. We work together. We are men and women who love each other, and so we serve each other. We serve the Lord God as well together. Thirdly, Epaphroditus was the Apostle Paul's fellow soldier. One commentator wrote, the Apostle Paul looked on Epaphroditus not as a subordinate, but in humility as a spiritual warrior in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a brother in Christ, he was a fellow worker, and as a fellow soldier, he was side by side with the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter or any of the other disciples. He was on that side. He was an equal person before God. And that's the way we are to treat each other. There's no hierarchy in terms of value. We all have different roles. The Lord God has given us different roles, and we do those things as service to the body of Christ. The fourth thing is that Epaphroditus was a messenger sent to Paul at Rome by the church at Philippi. We are not told what the message or messages were, but probably an encouragement for Paul. There was a monetary gift, probably. We don't know what that was, but that was to support the Apostle Paul as well. And what Paul would like to hear about is the spiritual growth of the people in the church at Philippi, and certainly that was part of it as well. One of the things that I noticed it was when we first talked about the book of Philippians. It's not every book that talks about the elders and deacons, but it starts off in verse 1 saying it's from also the elders and deacons. Philippi, the church of Philippi, was a fairly new church. It's less than 10 years old, and yet they have a biblical structure as a result of the teaching of Paul when he was with them. And as a result of that, there were deacons and elders. It's not to say that Epaphroditus was a deacon. We don't know what his role was, but he was a messenger in the church of Philippi. Number 5, Epaphroditus was a minister sent by the church at Philippi to meet Paul's need. They had heard about Paul being in prison and the struggles that they had there. And Epaphroditus was sent by the church at Philippi to minister to Paul and to meet whatever needs that he had. And we don't know the amount of time that he spent with him, but it was significant to Paul, as you hear Paul write about him. So this was an important thing. MacArthur wrote, "For Paul to call Epaphroditus a minister was high praise indeed. Epaphroditus was himself the most valuable gift that came to Paul from Philippi, a self-giving, tireless, sacrificial, and humble servant of the highest caliber." That was Epaphroditus as he came to minister to the needs of Paul. Number 6, Paul was sending Epaphroditus back to Philippi to encourage both Epaphroditus and the Philippian church. Verse 26 says that Epaphroditus was longing to see his fellow Philippians. And he was also concerned that they were worried about him being sick. And, you know, we don't know how long he was sick. There's about 800 miles between Rome and Philippi. And so that represents a long period of time. In those days, they didn't have trains and planes like we have today. So now you're talking about months of travel in between one city and the other. And so we don't know exactly how long Epaphroditus was sick, but probably for a good period of time and enough time for them to get that message that he was sick and maybe to respond to that as well. And Epaphroditus, verse 27, could have died, but God spared his life. That was to the mercy of both Paul and the Philippians, because he ministered to Paul. He met Paul's physical needs as he needed. Paul had a certain amount of freedom, even though he was in prison. And so he could have people that would help him. And Paul Timothy, rather, and Epaphroditus were those men that would come and minister to him during that time. Paul was sending Epaphroditus to the Philippians so the Philippians could rejoice in seeing him and so that Paul wouldn't worry about them as well. Because Paul was concerned about the Philippians because they were concerned about Epaphroditus. And so by sending him, that would cure both of those things. In verse number 7, Paul encouraged the Philippians to not only receive Epaphroditus with all joy in the Lord, but to hold men like him in high esteem. Paul wanted the Philippians to know that Epaphroditus was a man of great integrity, a man of great help, a man of great commitment. And Paul, as we have said, identifies those things in people, and he saw that in Epaphroditus as well. So these three men were faithful servants of the living, of living and serving in a dangerous time for Christians. You know, in our own country, it's getting more and more difficult for believers. When I was growing up, and I got a reminder of how old I am this past week, or 2 weeks ago, I went to my college 60th reunion. And I'm only 45. I can see all of you going, tick, 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 tick. Oh, okay, I know how old he is. And we had a great time together. It was just a wonderful time of getting together with people that I knew at that time. There are 9 of us that served in the same dorm. Most of us were in the same dorm our freshman year, and we became long lost friends. And we got into lots of trouble, and good kind of trouble, just rowdy guys. And I think I've told you before that when we graduated, the Lord put us in 9 different states. And there's good reason for that. But we stayed in contact with each other, and just a real blessed time. But in our country, we could see that the changes in the college, that they're dealing with a lot more resistance to the ministry that they have to the various places in the world. And Christians are being killed in some countries. The country that we live in, you know, has changed a lot since I was born and since many of you were born as well. And there may come a time when our lives are in danger. And so we need to stand firm. We need We need to act like the Christians that we are, committed like Paul was, like Timothy was, like Epaphroditus was, to the Lord Jesus Christ and the message of the gospel. And we need to be faithful. We need to be open about it. And I trust that that's what we will do. I think it's only going to get worse in the coming years. And we look forward to the time when the Lord returns. But in the interim, we need to be faithful in every respect. We need to be open about our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be open about sharing the gospel with others. And I trust that we will do that. I want to end our time, and I am a little bit early for you, but that's all right. I like this quote, and I put it on your sheet so that you can read it periodically if you like. Let us be like these three mighty servants of God, Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus, who were ready to risk their lives for the sake of Christ and for his work. The battle is on, and the fight is keen and hot. Let us all be certain that as fellow soldiers, we keep rank, we never falter or fail, and whatever the demands may be, whatever the cost, we shall be ready at any moment, yea, even unto death, to stand and to fight for our glorious King and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's a good command for all of us, a good thing for each one of us to think about, that we need to be strong, we need to be open about our faith, and we need to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to get tougher, but the Lord will strengthen us to do that. All right, let's close in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you for the example of these three men, Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus, men who risked their lives at a time when it truly was risking their lives to be men of disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, people that were Christians. And Lord, I pray for each one in this room that is in Christ. I pray that we would be like these three men, that men and women in this room would be strong in our faith, would be open about our faith, and would tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that that you would strengthen us to do those things that are pleasing to you. And Lord, I pray too that if there's anyone in this room that is not in Christ, I just pray that you would open their heart to the truth, that they would see their sin as against you, and that they would come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now I pray that you would dismiss us with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.